Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast from us, the people at the Red Men TV. That's a lot of uses of the word Red Men. It's the fourth one. We're going to talk about Cardiff, we're going to talk about Huddersfield, we're probably going to talk a little bit about City and United, even though there might be some of you listening to this after that game's been played, but nevertheless, news in a moment. We'll kick off first, because I am joined from clockwise from me around the table. Wow. Tom Dutton.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Ben Kelly.
Hello.
And Ross Chandley.
Hi.
Great. All very odd and unnatural. Thanks, gents. Elliot Hopkinson. If you could choose one Liverpool player to be tattooed on your arse, who and why? Tom Dutton.
Well, for me, this is to scare anyone away, theoretically. Okay. Because no one's ever going to see my arse.
No one.
No one.
No one. Because I don't get it out. So I'm thinking if it was
through,
to happen.
Not through choice.
Exactly. So I'm thinking. I mean, maybe after that singing, you might get it. But it's Virgil van Dijk. It's got to be him, like with a roaring Virgil van Dijk.
Like a little speech bubble.
No, it's not. I mean, he's facing away. No, actually.
So you want Virgil face down on your ass?
No. That's what I'm saying. I don't want. I want it facing away.
Facing away. And this is supposed to, in your eyes, deter people from wanting to be near your bottom.
Even more so.
The arse isn't enough alone.
Exactly, that's what I mean. It's a secondary measure.
I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, are you wanting someone to get closer? Is that what you're saying, Ross?
Well, I've gone for Shaqiri.
Why?
In fact, because he's the smallest, and by the time the arse has shriveled a bit more, it'll disappear.
But you can get it as big as you want.
Shaqiri.
Go ahead.
Is that a bit life-size? It still wouldn't be that big.
Just be a pimple.
Okay, Ben.
I've gone with Van Dijk, but for completely different reasons. I've just gone because I like Van Dijk. I mean, if I've got to choose, I wouldn't choose to have somebody's face tattooed on my body of all the tattoos I could have. But if I had to have a Liverpool player of the current squad tattooed on my body, on my arse, and that was a choice I had to make, I'd go with my favourite player, and it's Van Dijk. I don't understand what on earth would possess me other than this question.
Well, you're never going to see it, so does it matter?
Well, I suppose it doesn't, but it's still my—I don't know. It's still my body.
It's a very hard question.
I explained it to someone as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Why have you got that?
Because it was a question on a podcast.
Well, no, but you wouldn't have to, because you know, unless you're getting it out. It's one of those things that you probably would act like people who've got knob piercings who actively look to whip them out and be given opportunities. You just go, I've got me knob pierced. Look, it's fine. I believe you. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not something I think you'd lie about. And if you did, then that's your own set of problems. This is absolutely fine. I reckon I'd have to go down the route of. Anyone ever watched Jackass back in the day?
Yeah.
And Steve-O basically got himself a tattoo of himself on him. Is it on his back or is it on his front? Anyway, but like something, like just something hilarious. So it's whether you go with like a full, like massive laughing Jürgen Klopp.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it says player in the question.
Okay.
Well, you could do.
He was a player.
You could do a Bobby one with like a Shannon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know. So, but like the comedy said, does it come from being like, it's Mignolet, or it's Moreno. Yeah. It's just something, because look,
Carrie's trying to catch your arse.
I'll be honest, like, yeah. But it's something like, it's a hugely regrettable decision, no matter who you get on there. Yeah. So it might as well be a talking point, and not like, you know, you stop liking a player. Like, you might go off, you might go off Van Dijk, you know what I mean? I know it's unlikely, but you might, you know, you can change on this. Whereas there's just Alberto Moreno. You just have a giggle, like, you know what I mean? What the fuck have you done there?
That's a really tough question. If, I mean, anyone listening, let us know who and why, because I really struggled with this.
Let us know in the comments. Yeah.
You could have Steven Gerrard, and then if you wouldn't wipe yourself properly, it looks like he slipped on mud.
Wow. I don't want to relive that.
Brilliant. I thought we'd. That was all.
Yeah. It was all put to bed. Robertson slipped. Taken slip back.
Have Robertson then?
Why?
Because he slips
and he's fat and he gets mud on him, but it's fine. Brilliant. Caught offside, ran an article at the weekend saying that Liverpool fans mocked the death of Emiliano Sala. Just to clarify, 100% not true.
No.
Absolute, complete and utter fabrication. Caught offside ran an apology on their Twitter, which basically
was weak.
This is the thing for me, Ross. Me and Chris just did a big section on our podcast this week about how, look, you can make mistakes in life, and particularly when you're working in an industry that's not particularly well regulated at all. Provided, you know, you're penitent after the fact, and you go to every, you know, length to undo the thing, and you seem to be better off the back of it, then, you know, look, we can all make mistakes and we can all move forward from them. It took them, like, they apologised, and then they still didn't delete the article. Now they have deleted the article, but it's this point of, if you want to be a legitimate organisation, this is the difference between the press and not the press. And we give the press loads of stick, and there's this notion that the press print lies, and some of them do. They do. But they are regulated such that everything needs to be sourced. If you're going to put something out in the media, you need to have at least two sources on that.
Oh, they had two tweets
to
go off.
They claim they had two tweets to go off, which, again, we're living in a world where Twitter's not a source.
No, it's not at all.
It's not very forgiving either, because once, like, even if you put that out, and, you know, someone will always clip that up and screenshot it, and it's there forever is the problem. So, exactly. Like, anything that ever goes out in ours, I question myself 2-3 times if it's something that I'm not sure of, or I'll come to you or Chris or whatever. They've basically gone for 15 minutes of fame, in my opinion, and gone, oh, we'll put this out, we'll leave the article up because, you know, we'll get all the link clicks of people checking out or what's going on. You know, they've got some sort of marketing from that, whether it's negative, but, you know, there's no such thing as bad.
Well, I can't think I've talked about caught offside before or anything. No, other exactly. Than to say the utter gobshite.
So they would have been trended on Twitter, no doubt. People go over there. They've still got, 30,000 followers on there.
But it's going to be deeply offensive no matter what way. Whether it's true or not, it's deeply offensive regardless. Like, all right, if it did happen, which it never, I guess you've got to kind of call it out. But the problem with
I'll be honest, Tom, it's not caught offside's job to be breaking news stories about these things. I mean, to be perfectly honest, if they are a legitimate organisation, they'd have sourced it. Mm. And if they're not, then wait until you see this in a proper newspaper who will have done the due diligence on it.
It's these articles where they're just literally getting tweets for me. And all right, like, some of them are just happy-go-lucky. Oh, there's an article of, oh, all these people were laughing at some player, ha ha ha, and then they post people's tweets, and that's the article. Fine, but when it's a serious thing, you can't just post people's tweets and then go, well, what's our thoughts on this? No, that's not, unless it's a respected journalist who's come out and that's how they're breaking the story.
Yeah, but it's the other problem is, obviously we all know there's like negative connotations with some Liverpool fans, but we did a podcast about you can't brandish all Chelsea fans racist because they're not.
Yeah.
And they've ridden on that and gone, actually, we'll put something out, we'll make it believable, because something goes on Twitter or whatever.
Well, it's jumping on the hate of Liverpool fans. Yeah, I don't want it to be like, almost if we're playing the victims with this, where, oh, poor us, you know, we're up. But it is almost a case of they've seen opportunity that nobody wants. They've seen the general consensus of Twitter is that nobody wants Liverpool to win the league. Everybody's against Liverpool fans all the time. They've gone, well, we've got an opportunity here. We've heard a couple of things. Let's be first in breaking this potential story. It's the way it is. You know, it's speed over accuracy at the moment. That is the way the journalism industry works now. If you can get something out quick, doesn't necessarily matter whether it's right, because people are going to be talking talking about you, and people are going to come to your website before they've been anywhere else to read that story, yeah. And that's what's important, and it's a shame.
It's just some lads by the looks of it, because I saw a tweet from someone who's a Man United fan, something or other, and he put the tweet out, and then afterwards he said, God, I love this game, as a follow-up tweet, because he knows what he's done. He's done, mm-hmm. he's done that just simply to troll, and it's been picked up by these, and, you know, I mean, look, ultimately, no sympathy for them, more fool them for being caught up in it, so to speak. But
I like the way Peter Moore dealt with it. I really do.
I saw that there was mention of Peter Moore being involved.
Yeah. He asked them to follow him, and then they got a DM, and then after that, but he asked them twice, didn't he? And then they've obviously apologised. So we Steph O'Connor in there and went, "Hey, not on, sort it out," and they've gone, "All right." And then
the lad who originally tweeted did a succession of tweets like that and went, "Oh yeah, I've said a DM from a Liverpool lawyer asked me to take it down." And was like, again, you're just riding on like this notion of social media going, oh, you're 5 minutes of fame going, oh, someone's
touching me. We think about Liverpool and we think about the stuff, you know, they get criticisms and have done for a number of years. And I think lots of that started to subside and helps when Liverpool are good on the pitch. But this is the shit that they've got to deal with. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, they've got people who.
There'll be plenty more between now and the season.
Oh, like, absolutely. You know, these are the random things that you've got to deal with when you're running a football club, like defending people, making up absolute bollocks. And all it takes. I've had to live with this. We've all had to live with this with the Hillsborough Slayers. Like, I lived in Sheffield for 4 years around doing university, and I'd bump into people, and we talk about Hillsborough, we talk about the Sun, and they say, "Well, you don't like the Sun because they printed the truth." Mm. And it's like, because people get their opinion. If people don't care to have their opinions tested or challenged, once you've got an opinion on something, it's quite a lot of effort to change it. Yeah, you know what I mean? And some people just don't care enough, so they'll get that opinion. There will be people out there who saw that, who will think that is the truth, and have carried that forward, because that's unfortunately the way the world works. So there's a percentage of people out there who will now wrongly believe that Liverpool did this, and that will colour their opinion of Liverpool fans forever because of that.
And mainly kids. Why? Because they don't think, because if that was at any other club or something's happened before, like you see stuff on Twitter all the time and you go, I'll wait till I hear something or I see video evidence, and there was nothing here, and there's loads of people jumping on the bandwagon like Ben says, going, yep, must be Liverpool, they've done it before.
Typical Liverpool fans, this is why everybody hates Scousers. You see them all, and all it takes is a very, very small thing to set people off, because people are just desperate to knock Liverpool down at the moment, whether it be the team itself or the club.
Well, as long as you just make an example out of them and just go, well, there you go, this is wrong. If anyone tries to do it again, this is the thing.
I think Peter Moore's quite a reasonable guy, but he's also a very canny business fella. And I think it would fit in the ethos of going, right, everyone, apologise, take it down, and we won't take any further action. But equally, I've talked a lot about this lately. I think, you know, it depends again how prepared these are to go, because if they just think deleting it and try and get on with it is enough. I don't know, these things move on very quickly, don't they? People won't be talking about this in a couple of days' time, but in the instance of like the people who are making that stuff up, I'd be coming down on them like a ton of bricks, because you can't get away with that. You can't do that and expect to get away with it. It's libelous.
Yeah.
You know, and if that was any other world, there would be, you would be getting in contact with people's lawyers off the back of it. Like, so no, I think it's disgraceful.
Set an example was what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Of going, you know, come down and he's like a ton of bricks now, it'll send a warning out to anyone else who's thinking about trying it. Currently as it is, you know, it'll be another account, there'll be millions of accounts set up, and it'll be like, okay, we'll do it this time, but nothing happened to caught offside, so it'll be fine with us. Yeah. We'll get our 15 minutes of fame.
I think it's extra specially important, really, at the moment, the age that we're living in, where we're trying to stamp things out like racism in the game, where if you're seeing stories like this where people are making up people chanting things when they're not, then suddenly you're in a massive grey area there, because suddenly it only takes one person to go, well, I heard a load of United fans chanting racism towards Raheem Sterling on Wednesday night, and it's not true. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you're being sent mixed messages.
Well,
about,
particularly because of the whataboutism that goes on in the media, that then gets used as evidence against something else, and then it's a real thing because you've seen it twice. You've seen it originally reported, and then you see it used as ammunition in another argument. And then if you're not looking to check the veracity of any of these things, you're like, well, I've now seen it. It's so real that people are using it as a counter argument in a situation, so therefore it must be it's a piss.
It's the same with other accounts. You know, you can have someone who's a City fan or something with an AVI of a Liverpool they'll say something and everyone thinks he's immediately a Liverpool fan. Therefore, then you all get tarnished with something that they've said. Yeah,
it's fucking stupid. Well, it goes into it, and it's probably, you know, we're getting wildly off topic with it, like, but like all the deep fake stuff and all that. Like, I mean, we live in a world where you can make anyone say anything, and you've got to, you know, now it depends how much you want to stop those things happening. Yeah, it's a bit of a fucking weird time, to be honest. But speaking of weird times, let's get into transfer rumours. Start off, the Express, who are notoriously horrendous for transfer rumours, saying that Fulham won £40 million for Ryan Sessegnon. I mean, I'm sure that's probably a thing. I'm sure they probably do want a good chunk of money for him. Obviously, you know, Fulham are going down. Liverpool have got wonderful priors for buying players from relegated teams. Spurs are the ones. I think the Spurs fans all think he's nailed on to come to them. But he's not been great this season. I don't think he set the league alight like we maybe hoped he would.
I've kind of forgotten he existed, to be honest, for large parts of the season. He's not been on my radar at all. I mean, he was one of the players coming up where you thought, oh, here we go. You know, this is going to be... I mean, he was touted for the England squad, you know, part of last season in terms of, you know, I'm not sure if it was for the World Cup, but there were friendlies running up towards the World Cup where people were discussing him getting a call up from Gareth Southgate, and that's all gone quiet. You know, the Nations League is coming up. It might be a good opportunity for Southgate to perhaps experiment with the squad a little bit, but he's just not even on... He's not even on the shortlist, and
Tom's done some quick Googling.
Some quick Googling. So last season in the Championship, 49 games, he scored 16 goals and 8 assists. Fantastic return. Premier League this season, 32 games, 2 goals, 6 assists. I mean, it's the assists that we want to look into, really. Mm-hmm. So that's Trent's got how many in all comps? I think it's like 9 or something, is it? I mean, it's one of them. You're playing for a team like Fulham, who aren't very good in attack, to get 6 assists and 2 goals there.
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
A better team, maybe, he wouldn't get into our first 11s, the thing. Is he worth £40 million?
He's still a kid, isn't he? And it's whether his future lies at left back or left wing, because I suspect a lot of that's come from him playing further up the pitch this season as well. Like, but I think £40 million is too much. Like, but, you know, Ryan Sessegnon, we talk about this, about getting the next. We're making lads who are in the mid-20s better at football. He's still probably, 19 years old?
I reckon under a better manager as well. Fulham had 3 managers this season, one of which is Scott Parker. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you put Jurgen Klopp with him, you know, and youngsters and healthy competition as well. I think you find, you know, that's what Klopp's developed at our club now. And, you know, he gets the best out of people.
Absolutely. Salah and Klopp apparently fell out, and he wanted to move to Real Madrid. That link to Real Madrid to come back again this week.
Oh, he's definitely gone, Paul.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it's just we're not like, matching... it's like Marnie was for like the past 3 months.
Well, we're not matching his ambition in any competition. We don't have a world-class team, a world-class manager, a world-class backroom staff. Why would he ever want to stay?
Because he can't take the penalties, Tom.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll
talk about that on the Cardiff section, definitely. But now this is complete and utter horseshit. Complete and utter horseshit. And I love the fact that we were talking about pre-recording, but... It came from the original Fallout thing, came from AS, and then I can't remember what Salah's age is. It Remy Abbas, is it? And he basically tweeted, I see the talking out of the AS again, which is just brilliant. Amazing, absolutely amazing. So, yeah, this is going to go on forever because Real Madrid have got Zidane back, he's looking to rebuild the Galacticos, etc., etc. So, inevitably, all the world class players in world football will be getting linked with Real Madrid. Also,
they've got the money for it, that's
but
the thing.
They haven't. So, it will be interesting to see whether they do. Hazard has been linked for a while,
pretty much nailed on.
They're literally going to have to, because Bale's not even. Apparently and stuff. They need a whole overhaul, don't they, really? They're apparently bringing Pogba in. It's going to be a great team. It's going to be a fantastic summer for them because they're going to bring
Ronaldo
in some good players.
They bought Vinicius Junior. I'll be honest, I've paid very little attention to Real Madrid this year, and that's probably because they've not been in my face as much because they've been
garbage. Yeah, great. It's been
great. But no, I can't see that happening not this summer. Certainly not. You know, maybe I think if Liverpool do match Salah's ambitions and let's say we win one piece of silverware, it'll become close this year. I think, you know, you maybe get another year and then conversations start to be had about whether players want to move on. Because it works both ways, weirdly, is if you don't win anything, players start to get at your feet and think, can I go elsewhere and try and fulfil these ambitions? But equally, if you win everything,
you're in the spotlight, aren't you?
Well, no, but also you go, well, I've done that now. Where's my new challenge? So, you know, players.
Well, Messi's not done it, has he? Messi's not come to that conclusion yet.
True enough, I know. But that's the ambition for Liverpool, isn't it? To be a point where, as long as you're in the top two teams in England, easy as that is to be, then what's the point? You're swapping countries just for a change of scenery, aren't you? And that's when it comes down to, it's just a bit warmer in Spain, isn't it? It's just a bit more, but the food's a bit better and the weather's a bit nicer.
Even if we win the league and the Champions League, just big up the League Cup to him.
Prestigious,
the best thing in the world. Stay for that, mate, be fine.
Yeah, that's Jordan Henderson, how important it is. Robbie Fowler has been unveiled as the new Brisbane Roar manager. Congratulations to Robbie Fowler. Fair play.
He'll keep him at the house, won't he? I'm gutted we're not going to see him at the LFC Legends game, or maybe he'll fly over for them. Well, but
stop Steven Gerrard actually managing a proper team. I had
a quick look. They've got 18 points in 26 games, which puts them ninth in the A-League. They're not very good.
Okay.
And then Ross checked when he was trying to get this season stats.
Mid-table.
With the mid-table last season.
Kevin, there's only 10 teams in the league and they're ninth. Yeah.
But if there's no relegation, then it's a perfect thing for them just to be like, oh yeah, just have a...
I think it's Robbie Fowler's one of them, isn't he? He's my favourite. He's my favourite footballer ever, basically. Favourite Liverpool player, certainly, just because he was just the idol when I was growing up. But no one looks at... It's weird how no one thinks about Fowler in terms of being a manager. Be interesting to see how he gets on with it. I mean, I can't. It's not the well trodden path to go to the A League and then end up as Liverpool boss, of course. But
he played over there, didn't he?
He did, yeah. His family enjoyed the time over there and fit play. I wish him all the best. I think he's reached that point as well. I haven't had a brief chat with him the other week that he, you know, physically, you know, he always had injury problems anyway, and like the Legends stuff, he can't really play too much football now anyway because it just hurts him too much. So the managing thing, he's wanted to get into management for a while, and he's obviously somewhere nice and warm and he's happy, and he's probably getting paid a fair wedge. So yeah, all the best to Robbie Fowler. The Red News Roundup show is coming up on the website this week. I believe Steve will be in back in to record that. If not, I'm sure we'll figure it out. But yeah, theredmentv.com for all of that stuff and a whole lot more as well, all the things in and around Liverpool and transfer stuff gearing up for the summer as well. Right, before we crack on and talk about Cardiff when Liverpool won handsomely /2-0, we've got a sponsor this week. It is Tokyo Time. We've got some caps on display on the table for our video viewers. Tom's just making a sort of hat putting on motion there.
You had to go fishing.
Yeah. So can we just point out, like, again, do watch the video version for all this, of course. If you listen on podcasts, it is very hard for us to describe things, but Tom is wearing the sumo camouflage cap at the moment to go with his camouflage shorts.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I think you look amazing.
I mean, I'll take it. I don't suit caps or camouflage.
I disagree on both counts. Anyone else?
I think you know. I think you look okay with the cap on. I think you look okay. Yeah. And you look like a young boy willing to learn about the world.
Okay. You look like you're missing some yarn from your mouth and a spit bucket.
I'll be honest, I don't wear caps at all, and I've been wearing them around the office. When you first came in, I'd just stick one on, and then obviously I have to take it off when I'm playing pool because you can't see over it.
Yeah.
But actually, I
turn it backwards.
Exactly, but then I look too cool.
Oh, right.
Too cool for pool.
A skateboard just appears in my hand. And if I do that, it's really weird, actually.
I'm not a fan of caps, but I do actually like them. It does suit you.
I've said this before. You know, there's some people suit all caps, some people suit certain types of caps. And I must admit, they're the kind of caps.
See?
Not too bad, to be fair. But Tom really does suit that. And look, the thing I always say on these when we're talking about the Tokyo Time stuff, I'm just not a hat person at all. But I am. I appreciate the look of a good hat, and I'm so jealous that I don't suit them because I really wish it could. Because there's lots of people that I like and respect who look really good in hats. Yeah. Tom being one of them now. but they are fantastic. And if you want to get hold of a Tokyo Time cap, you can do. Go to bit.ly, which is bit.ly/TokyoTime_RedmenTV, and you can use a code Redmen20, which is all caps, REDMEN20, for 20% off your Tokyo Time hat. They've got a phenomenal range of stuff on there. We've got on the table here the pink one that was so expertly modelled by the man, the legend, Chris Page, after the other week. There's an all black one on there, which again, like, I've got the Liverpool blackout shirt from this season. I want to suit that cap.
Bailey's robbed it. He wears it all the time and he looks good in it.
Really annoys me.
There's some Redmond ones going into production very soon
as
well.
Yes, so stay tuned for all that. But go and have a look around. Go and have a little feel around it. If you're into caps and you want really good ones, and even if you're on the cap fence... So
summer's coming, you need it.
Summer is coming, and this is the thing. There's a bunch of things that you need to get now. The shorts, not necessarily saying camo shorts, but it's an option if you're into that kind of thing. Sunglasses, hats, and suntan lotion, and we can box you off with not just any old hat, an amazing looking hat with 20% discount.
I really wanted you to say, we've got our own sun lotion.
Oh, imagine absolutely. You can model that as well. Just lather yourself up on the podcast.
I am very pale, so it could be like keep yourself pale.
Absolutely.
That's what you want to do.
Brilliant. Get involved with that. We'll put the link in the description underneath. And as ever, check at the Redmen TV for the latest offers and stuff in regards to all that stuff. Right, Cardiff. Just to kick it off, I thought it was fantastic, Ben. We apparently deliberately trained on a dry pitch on Melwood just to acclimatise ourselves to this Jürgen. We are so many steps ahead of everything that's happening in the world right now that we are actively like ruining the pitch at Melwood just to give us a fractional better understanding of how the game was going to go.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has done his research into Neil Warnock, hasn't he? I thought it was a really interesting insight. There was a few interesting insights in that post-match interview from Klopp, obviously that being one of them. The other one being the corner routine that the players basically figured out themselves, which I thought was brilliant, because if the players are learning on the pitch, then that must make a manager's job so easy. But yeah, no, the dry pitch, there was a lot of comics. It was one of Sky's narratives at the beginning, wasn't it? It was all, and the pitch is dry, and you know that's going to be difficult. We'd misplaced a few passes and all this, and then actually it wasn't a problem because we'd been training on it all week and we were used to it anyway. I thought brilliant.
You've got to take away as many variables as possible. Obviously, you can't stop the wind and stuff, but there's been so many times this season when managers have said, no, this is a reason out of our control, and we've just gone, this is going to be out of our control, let's put it in our control and let's at least give the players a semblance of what it's going to be. Let the grass go a bit longer, you know what I mean? Because it all, as much as you like to have a laugh about it, you know, it makes a difference. I was playing footy on Sefton Park the other day and the grass was too high to kick a ball on.
Yeah.
I know it's a wildly different thing,
no.
But when the grass is short and wet, we play better because that's Man City play better.
Look
the
at us
passing teams
against Leicester. We're clearing our half the pitch of snow because we know that it could potentially have given us an advantage. Yeah. I mean, we didn't go on and win that game, but Jurgen Klopp's it's just little things that
we didn't have time
to
do the other side.
Was that the way it was?
But no, but this is the point. Marital gains are the thing, and that's where we're at now. People might be shocked by that or whatever, but like I think we've done this on the podcast before. Liverpool have two Anfield pitches. They have the pitch that's literally in Anfield, and the company that provides that pitch has another pitch, identical pitch on their home offices or whatever, that they replicate how it's been torn up from the game before, so that they can monitor how the pitch works for Liverpool, so they can identify how it works and how it runs and all that kind of stuff. We don't think about these things because we still got this whole football is a really simple game of 22 lads kicking a football and the one who scores the most goals. And it's fundamental, you know, best, it remains that way. There's levels of inception happening around modern football that we're not privy to. So I know I love the fact that we just, yeah, I'm not sure we necessarily need to mention it, but I also like the fact that we've just done it just for a bit of needle. Just like they've tried this and fuck them. And Warnock has got all his other stuff like, oh well, Jürgen, you know, Jürgen wants to try being me, as though Mainz Football Club never existed.
I know.
So this Mainz used to like train in a park, mate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Cardiff, as much as you might think, for some reason, Cardiff, shit, it's not. It's not
a Premier League team. They've got Premier League, all right, maybe Championship level facilities. Like, there's so many clubs around world football where they're like, I would love that many backroom staff. Yeah. I would love to have a kitchen that we can use instead of bringing our own sarnies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you know what? Is a small margin the fact that his centre-half, a Liverpool fan, wants him to win the league and he gave away a penalty and missed the header?
I love that.
That's a small margin.
Love that so much because he was terrible, wasn't he?
But he came out like last week instead of wanting Liverpool to win the league, then proceeded to do that.
That header was unbelievable watching that back. He completely misses that. I was saying on a man of the match, I think Sadio Mane puts him off. He obviously loses him.
Someone
to
was
start
reporting. Apparently, Alisson got a finger on it,
yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Fair enough then.
Fair play if he did.
we deserve that win, to be fair. Mm. I mean, shaky moments, but you've got again, you've got to ride your luck in this. You've got to. And
we created enough, I think, for the majority. I mean, I wasn't on the final word or anything like that. I think in the first half, a lot of games this season, I've sort of sat there at half time when it's 0-0 and been itching to change something. But we'd created enough for me in the first half for me to be like, this will come, whether we change something or not. Yeah. Obviously, the Firmino chance is the one that you should be taking the first half, but then. You know, as time goes on, I'm thinking we're going to create more here.
That was always the difference. For like even a season ago, like we'd struggle against low block teams, but we wouldn't create anything. It was just frustrating. It was going round and round and round, and now it's like getting through.
Burnley away 2 seasons ago, and we battered Arsenal first game of the season, and we went to Burnley and we got beaten. It was literally a game of us just knocking it around the edge of the area and trying random pot shots and hoping something went in. And this is the thing, the only fear was... And it was something that you were kind of saying while we were watching the game, Tom, is that it might, you know, we've created these chances. The fear is that we might, like, not just continue to create but not score. Yeah. And the reason that fear exists is because a Liverpool team a few years ago used to be like that. And that's what all of our fears stem from, is that a different Liverpool side at some point in the past did something that, if it was this Liverpool, if it was that Liverpool side, it might be a tricky situation. But it's not that Liverpool side.
Even when it gets to the end, I think I said 75 minutes and then we'll be like on edge. But that's when we scored all our goals, is the last 15 minutes.
When you said, if we get to like 75 minutes, and then you went, I'm aware that's 25 minutes away.
and then we scored before that. And it's always funny because I always go back to, I think it was the West Brom 2-2, and I've said it so many times, but it's... The fans didn't give up and we got the reward. We sucked the ball in that day and then they went up and did the German thing and we got laughed at, Baz and all that. We're like, oh, German Martin O'Neill doing this, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, but it's fostered something. It's made the fans believe. And the amount of times this season when the Everton's a massive example, the Spurs one, the PSG one, when you're looking at it, these are massive, massive results happening at the end of games because the fans don't give up, which in turn, the players obviously don't give up, but in turn, bolsters them even more.
It's a psychological reason. If you were doing a play... and half the people in the audience walked out for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Are you going to give it the bifters? Like, I don't know, maybe you would. Maybe that's the mentality but, or whatever. But there would be a feeling of...
Oh, anyone see that City fan that got into by ITV? Yeah. Barry, I'm disappointed. We won, didn't we? No, you didn't. Dickhead.
I would pay so much money to see the raw footage of that.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this the other day. They shave him. Because they cut away to footage of the game, don't they, or the celebrations, and then they cut back and he's obviously had to explain to him what's happened. Mm. I would love to see the dawning realisation of what happened and him explaining what he's done or whatever. Because you might see people, you get what you deserve, and I'm not going to get into this because there's extenuating circumstances around us, but this is you're complicit if you choose to leave a football match early, you know, because
he's left a very very specific time there. I think, like, you know what I mean? There was less than a minute between that goal going in and the offside. And he's not enjoyed any of that whatsoever. Yeah. He's just gone, well, that tram crew's going to be mad. And straight away, and he's just got, that was a very short window. It was very
semi-final
bizarre.
Celebrations or tram.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine that he literally missed the goal. I don't know. It happens. There's some people who for whatever reason, like trains and all that, do have to leave before the game as well. They don't get home. No, I know. And it's a constant bugbear of mine because it's like, I always said about like this, if Liverpool kicked off at 2 o'clock in the morning, which they do for loads of Liverpool fans, and all respect in the world for people who adapt their lives around that, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, if that was my entire life, I would just watch whatever was in Liverpool at the normal time instead. Yeah. But even then, like, you know, I just don't think, if that was all my life and it was from 2 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't support Liverpool the way I support them. Them now. I'd just do something different. So, like, if you've got to get out and you've got to miss that, this is a complete aside,
just,
by the way.
Just
but
do it like the Germans do it and have proper, like... proper support for all the fans travelling, just do it that way. Yeah. And then we don't have this problem and people will stay and the fans will be better because the Germans do it best.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, great to see everything about this Liverpool side feeding in the right direction. And one of the things that I loved, I think James Milner's attitude typifies everything that I love about this squad. Mm. We'll talk about the penalty stuff, the Salah stuff in a second because I know you want to talk about it, Tom. But Ben, I love the fact that he's been doing this for months now. You know, like the whole what are you upset about? Because we're top of the league.
Yeah.
You know, just buzzing off. People are asking him questions of it. He's so happy. He's so relaxed. And now James Milner is making up like he's doing a celebration to have a laugh at Virgil van Dijk. And James Milner is scoring penalties in important games in the running where everything's meant to be nervous and
he's
tense.
Just like the coolest guy, isn't it? You know what I mean? I can imagine him. Do you know where I think he's probably most important? Like after City games. So like City go and win again. And everybody's like, you can imagine Trent being like, oh, we're not. And he's going, just chill.
And
just
look at James Milner, it's and he's fine. Got his Game Boy out with a link cable, and he's playing tennis against Virgil van Dijk. And they, oh, shit. And they're just literally, like, they're buzzing the tits off and goes, oh, well, these don't care.
Yeah.
He said he's going to go out, didn't he, for the Manchester Derby? He's like, he's got for something to eat.
Yeah.
He said, I'll do whatever.
Watch a film or something. I can imagine just in the dressing room all the time. There's just this calm influence, and on top of that, on the pitch, what he does is he just slots in wherever. We discussed this before. Obviously, I don't think the plan was for him to be on the field on Sunday, but obviously Fabinho goes off, and he's just like, "What? Oh, you need me? Yeah, absolutely fine, absolutely fine. Everybody, it's fine. I'm going to take this penalty now, and I'm going to slot it away. I'd have put me out on him to score on Sunday that penalty.
He got asked about pressure, didn't he? And he just went back to. Well, I played that QPR game with City won the title 3-2. He said, this is nothing. And I was like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But it's that experience that comes into mind.
But this is the thing I've been talking about for years about how you build a winning mentality in a squad when you've not won anything, is that your older lads who've done it, they're the coolest. When you've done something once, it's so much easier to do it a second time. Yeah. It just is how it is. You know, if you walk into a new situation, once you've cracked it, even the basics of it, it's easy to go again. I mean, I remember the first time I went in Subway. No idea how that place worked.
I thought you'd go somewhere else.
Once I figured it out that, you know, you tell them the type of bread and then you go through all this kind of stuff, all the fears melted away. And now I can buy Subway like a fucking champ. but that's the thing, though. They get to just turn to James Milner and they go, how's he doing? And we say, when you're most experienced, like if they're flapping, then...
Yeah,
you know it's probably time to flap, but when he's just there, he's just so calm, so cool. He's prepared, and this is leaning in, Tom. He's prepared to walk onto a pitch in a game that he's not necessarily meant to be playing in. Take the ball off Liverpool's top goal scorer, who's going for the golden boot, when we're already 1-0 up in a game, because he's the nominated penalty taker, he's the best penalty taker, and he's also the vice captain of the football club.
Exactly.
And he doesn't shirk away from it. Mo asks him, and he's just like,
why would you do that? Yeah, why would I let you do that?
Don't be daft, get off me ball.
Mo keeps all of it and he goes, I'm taking the penalty. Well, goes over and slots it. Even if the keeper dives the right way, he's not saving that. And the amount of times that he's not, like say, shaked away from the pressure of a penalty. There's been massive penalties this season and he's come up and come up trumps. And there's a big argument of a lot of people saying, oh, Mo Salah should have taken this. You can see the demoralising nature of it all. That's bollocks, I'm sorry. Mo Salah was upset straight after it. Mo Salah's not upset. We won 2-0.
Yeah.
He won the Golden Boot last season. He's got plenty. He had an opportunity later on in the game to get a goal. Stop moaning about a perceived thing that you think that he's upset. All right, fair enough. He's gone for a golden boot, blah, blah, blah. We want him to be happy. He's happy. We won 2-0. He's playing for the team.
He did like kind of look disappointed, but I'm kind of glad that he was, because if he wanted everyone to take the penalties and want everyone to score. But he did a post-match interview 2 weeks ago that said, he was on about Mane and Firmino. He's like, I don't care who scores as long as we win something.
Exactly.
And why is that argument like null now? Because he didn't get to take a penalty.
Yeah, but he's won the penalty. And he must be immediately thinking, like, go on, I'll take this. Go on, I'll have this. Yeah. And Milner's like, sorry, mate, there's rank.
Yeah.
There's rank and file in this system. And you know what? I'm having it. Yeah. So get off. And it's like, yeah, he's disappointed, but fine. And the problem we've got with this pen is that we've got now a lot of Salah fans who are following Liverpool. They're not Liverpool fans necessarily. And look, there's plenty, and this is not to say every Egyptian is not a Liverpool fan. No, because there are, because there's loads of diehard Liverpool fans from all over the world. But there are a percentage of people who are just Salah fans, and the lad who we saw the kickoffs on Twitter was putting this up, and he was really upset about it, saying it was a disgrace, etc., etc. Then I had a follow-up tweet that basically said, I'm a Salah fan first.
He said he didn't lose sleep if Liverpool don't win games.
Exactly. So he's not a Liverpool fan, so ultimately his opinion in this instance shouldn't really concern us. But this is a thing to be aware of now. And we were warned about this when, because we've got a friend who's an Egyptian Liverpool fan, and he said Roma got a bunch of, you know, Egyptian following them because of Salah. You speak to it's a mentality we don't really get so much. Maybe in the 80s when like Lineker went and played for Barcelona, people might have paid more attention to that, or Mark Hughes played for Bayern Munich. You know, you might have had those kind of things, but it's not something we're really familiar with.
I mean, there's a big. It's kind of the same with Ronaldo and Messi. You get a lot of one or the other, don't you? And then you end up with the big debate about who's better.
They've got their own realistically, fans.
They've got their own fans. I mean, I imagine now there's a lot of more Juventus fans this season because Ronaldo's gone over there. I think in one aspect, it's a good thing for us because more eyes on Liverpool Football Club in general is a good thing. We're going to sell more merchandise. We're going to grow as a club. That's fine. But yeah, you're going to end up with... you're going to end up with those people either way because, first of all, people just want something to moan at all the time. So so if Liverpool are winning the top of the league, people are never happy. People just want something to be upset with because, for some reason, that gives them a purpose in life. Secondly, it is one of them. There's loads of Hazard fanboys who think that he should be getting Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. And he's not player of the season, is he? He's not. But people have a bias towards their favourite players. It's just the way modern football fan bases are.
Yeah,
you can't moan about Jordan Henderson anymore. You can't moan about Buvac. You can't moan about FSG. Just find the tiniest thing and go, well, Salah didn't take a penalty. There's a problem.
But this is the thing. It's hard to differentiate because, you know, again, it's an unusual situation for us to be in this boat where you're right, the Messi-Ronaldo kind of thing, when you're a global superstar... Particularly from another country, you do naturally have fans. I mean, I guess it's a bit like us paying a bit more attention to LA Galaxy because Gerrard was there, or we pay a bit more attention to Rangers because Gerrard's there, etc., etc. There might be people who pay more attention to, you know, to is it Dallas Rooney's at or whatever, like, you know what I mean, because he's there, etc. We don't really get that culture in the same way. I was speaking to an Israeli fella the other week who, like, Yossi Benayoun's big, it was a big deal for Yossi Benayoun to be, and you'd pay more attention to the games that they were playing in because you just would. And it's, again, this is why we've had things like people, loads of extra criticism of Mane when it's like Mane's not passing to Salah because all the people who are Mo Salah fans just want everything to revolve around him. I think it's really fucking weird.
I mean, it's one of them where it's literally just the fans talking about it, which is something I take half from. The players don't care. The players, at the end of it, Mo Salah might have gone, I wanted to take that, and James Milner's probably gone, well, look, next time, maybe you can win with 3-0 up, but look, I had two, and Salah will have gone, yeah, no, fair enough, James, nice one.
Salah's probably not thought about it since.
No.
And the thing is for us... The thing is for us, because we've also got this stupid Klopp Salah fallout nonsense story that's broken, we make the link of a little bit go, oh, well, you know, what if there is a problem in all this? Salah's probably gone off the pitch and gone, oh, yeah, would you want to take the penalty? It's all right. James might not play on Friday against Huddersfield. I'll take a penalty then. He gives, earlier on in the season, Salah gives a penalty to Firmino for Firmino to have his hat trick, and you go, well.
Little show of hands. Yeah. It's a penalty, last kick of the game against Wolves. To win Liverpool the league title, who would you rather have to take the penalty, Salah or James Milner?
With Milner's on the pitch.
James Milner? Hands up for James Milner.
He hasn't missed a penalty in the league for us. Yeah. It's that simple.
You could say Salah scored that penalty for Egypt in the last minute sent to the World Cup, but like you said before, there's rank. And there's
I'm sorry, but that penalty is just as likely to go 20 yards over the bar or...
Yeah, but in terms of pressure.
No, I know. But what I mean is he doesn't... James Milner, look at the way James Milner strikes that penalty against Cardiff. That is a man who takes penalties. Yeah. Mo Salah runs and kicks it as hard as he can in the general. There is no control over where Salah's put that penalty. No. He's just twatted it as hard as he can. And that's the right thing to do, actually, sometimes in those situations. But, we've seen him miss that penalty for us by doing that, by thinking that's not your technique, that's the absence of a penalty technique. That's open for the best. And I like that Milner's gone in there and gone, look, we are winning that game, but 2-0 is game one.
Yeah.
And this is my job. This is one of the things I'm on the pitch for. And also, let's be honest,
Jason Milner will want goals. Yeah. You know, he wants to have as many things on his name as possible.
Cardiff went through later on in the game after a penalty and nearly scored. Or didn't nearly score, it got blocked, but like you were through. And if it goes to 1-1 at the end, because Mo Salah's taking it, Mo Salah probably puts it away at the end of the day. But if Mo Salah doesn't put it away, then everyone's going, why is Mo Salah taking that? Klopp, what are you doing? Klopp would have been fuming. You saw it when, I can't remember what team, there was a team and someone just took the pen and missed it. Yeah, and they were like, what are you doing? We've just lost the points there because you've been a knobhead.
I don't think he's played since either. He took it off him, didn't he?
Yeah, but yeah. They sent him away because he had a fight in
but think of the Fulham game. We're 1-0 up.
Exactly.
Brian Babel scores 1-0 and it actually takes a penalty for us to get that game over the line. Milner's just like, well, look, he's running the risk, and this is true leadership, and this is once again why James Milner's brilliant and why this squad is fucking brilliant, is we've got genuine leaders in that team who are like, I'm just going to take this out of Mo's hands, because it's great that he wants it, it's great that he thinks he's made this decision, but it's rank again. Once again, I'm pulling rank, I'm taking this out of your hands because you don't need it, none of us need it, I'm just going to step up and score. No bother, we've got this game won, and then if something happens down the line, then you know what, yeah, we'll make that decision when we come to it. But no, I thought it was brilliant. And this is the best Liverpool side in Premier League history, Tom.
Wow. This is unreal. And it's been building towards this. It's been building and it's going to stay like this. And that's the best part for me, is you're watching this team that got formed. I remember a few seasons ago, you're looking at the side. There's places in the squad where you're like, okay, that's going to be good in the future. We've got people there. And then we got rid of all the deadwood. We brought in loads of good players to then be higher, so the good players we have then went to the squad players, and now you've got a really nice harmony in the side. And I just love what Jurgen Klopp's done for this club. I since he's come in, he's been the perfect man. We knew he was going to be the perfect man, but you're like, oh, he's going to work. He had that dodgy season at Dortmund.
Do you remember the first couple of months? And we were still doing social club with bosses at the time, and I used to get it all the time. Bennett was here. Jurgen Klopp's style of football has been figured out. He got figured out in Germany. Dortmund got figured out. That's why he had that crap last season, and that's why it's not really kicking on for Liverpool. And it may, you know, as it turns out, it was more because, let's be honest, our squad was a bit crap by comparison. We've now we've trained exceptionally, and we've bought big. And now Jurgen Klopp's brand of football has gone on to an absolute another level.
Yeah, and I think it's a credit to him, but it's also a credit to whoever's running things upstairs, because you know, what they've done is they've gone, look, we're going to get this manager in, and then if we're going to make a big decision like that, we've got to let him make the big decision in terms of recruitment, rather than have a stupid transfer committee where you end up with players like Mario Balotelli that the manager doesn't really want. We're going to let him, we're going to trust in him and his footballing brain to go, this is the system I want to play, and these are the players who are going to slot in perfectly. Other than Loris Karius, maybe Marco Grujic, who still might come good, every big money sign that we have made, I mean, Naby Keita's still up for debate, but I think he will come good. Every single one has been perfect.
I'm not even sure that it's necessarily because the transfer committee still exists. We still use the transfer committee. But it's
there's so much more influence from the manager.
But I think it's the other way. It's the more that everyone trusts everyone else to do the jobs that they're supposed to do. So when someone comes, when Edwards comes to Klopp and says, Mohamed Salah, mate, trust me, he goes, okay. No problem. So you don't have a situation, because you have this in life when you feel like you've constantly got to prove yourself. So you're overproven, and then maybe you double down on someone. This is what Rodgers did with Benteke. Yeah. You double down too hard because your vision's clouded. Because when you're under pressure to prove yourself, you maybe go a little bit harder, or maybe you make your opinion a little bit more staunch. We see this in all walks of life, don't we? When you know you maybe you've put a bad shout out there, and rather than go, oh, that was a bad shout, no, you just dig in. You dig your trench and you prepare to die on that hill for all eternity. And that's ultimately what happened. But this is the thing, we've got it's what happens with trust. This is what happens when we say, Jurgen can relax. He's not asked, he can afford to say, you know what, I'll take Fabinho off when he's had a little bit of a knock on the head, because it's not about today, it's about next week, and it's about the next 6 months, about the player's career. He's not having to build a side that's do or die every single year.
Yeah, to having a squad for the first time, it's quality and depth that I don't think I've had in my lifetime as a Liverpool fan, to be honest. I think even when you go back to 13, 14, we had a good 11, 12, maybe the others, but then you look on the bench and there was nothing. Mm-hmm. Now we've got the ability to say, you know, what's the best midfield three?
And you no come idea.
With, exactly, yeah. You've got no idea because it depends on who you're playing.
You could ask that question to all four of us and we could potentially all come up with four different answers to that.
We're all going to say Fabinho, Hendo, Naby, right?
Right now.
Currently, yeah.
Well, exactly. But the point is...
I think Triple Genie's in there, isn't he? Yeah. Instead of Naby, so you go...
But last season, at this stage of season, if one of them got injured, you're like, Christ, I'm relying on Adam Lallana, as you did in the Champions League final, who wasn't up to speed. Now, if someone gets injured, you can go, well, oh, perfect example, on Sunday, you know, Fabinho comes on, gets injured, I'll just put Milner there instead, fine. If he gets injured, I'll put Shaqiri in there.
We were talking about Adam Lallana 3 weeks ago, Tom. We were all made up to see him back in the side, and there was a question that he was in our best midfield all of a sudden, and now he's back to being sixth choice.
He wasn't on the bench, was he?
He can't stay fit enough to be any higher up.
No, but the point, but this is the point though, isn't it? Is that there's a lad who's if you drop Lallana into our team at any point between now and the end of the season, no one will bat an eyelid anymore because we know he's good enough.
You can talk about the squad and that, but I want to talk about the first teamers because a few seasons ago, maybe even last season, who's world class in this team? We maybe have one world class player. I can say Alisson's probably world class in terms of top tier goalkeepers. Yeah. Van Dijk's definitely world class. Yeah. You've got a centre defensive mid. All right, maybe he's not world class, but he's on his way there. The front three is a world class front three. It just is. You've got all these left back, best in the Premier League in my opinion, maybe best in the world. You've got an up and coming right back who's maybe rated as the best up and coming in terms of monetary value. You've got this squad full of world beaters, absolute world beaters who. All international grade, all playing top tier football constantly. Yeah. And then you've got this, like you say, you've got the squad to back it up of, again, international quality players.
Chuck Jordan, that conversation now as well.
Yeah.
Well, we came out.
Is England cap? Well, no, is he?
But we came out of 13-14 and we lost Luis Suarez, who was our genuine world class player. And Gerrard was having his last hurrah as a world class player. And then Daniel Sturridge was, you know, if he'd stayed fit, I think he'd have, you know, been creeping into that bracket certainly. But I think, you know, after that, who did we have? You know, Coutinho started to step up, but Coutinho never had a full world class season for us. You know, he threatened the season where he left. He was playing at a world class level. Yeah, he'd have finished that season on 25 plus goals because that was what he was on target for, and we'd have looked at him and gone absolutely nailed on world class. And then since then, you're dead right. Without a shadow of a doubt, you're talking Van Dijk and Salah. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt, and then you're right. You're then talking about the brackets, aren't you? Are there any better goalkeepers than Alisson? There's no one better than Alisson. Therefore. He's in the bracket of the best goalkeepers you can get. For his age category, can you get better than Trent Alexander-Arnold? Probably not. No. In terms of left back, it's mad for us to talk about. It's almost like embarrassing. You feel like it's embarrassing to talk about Andy Robertson being world class, and yet.
If he was Spanish, he wouldn't be.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That is world class. Exactly. Yeah.
Look at his return. You mention it every time, and Bailey mentioned every time the assist return for your fullbacks. I think that's the best of any pair of fullbacks ever. Mm. Their assist return this season, it, for me that is unbelievable. And even you talk about, look, you've got Joe Gomez there. There was a point in the season we were going, oh, we're a bit short at centre-back. I'm not sure about our centre-back options. I'm happy for any one of them now to come in and slot alongside Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. Gomez can come in, I'm fine. Joe Matip's been performing at a top, top level. I'm fine with it. Dejan Lovren can come in. I'm fine with it. Everyone's talking about, oh, should we sell them? What's the point? Yeah. I mean, you can maybe get better, but we've got good enough, I don't know.
No, absolutely. And that's it. And this is before, you know, we could go through all that squad and you're talking bare minimum is international class.
Yeah.
You've got a range of international calibre, wonder kids and genuine world-class players in this squad, and that's what's been built over the time. Right, we're going to talk about Huddersfield in a moment. Before we do, we've been hitting at this for ages. The very first Machen Page app podcast is out right now. The channel got to 10,000 subscribers without a single scrap of content. Now there it is. It's up. It's me and Chris together chatting random stuff in life. But what we did as well, which I thought was quite interesting for the Redmen listeners or what have you, obviously Chris got some stick a number of years back for a rather infamous rant about the Chelsea Football Club, and we got a really in-depth chat about it, what that was like at the time and how that's impacted his life ever since. I think it's fair to say that your life hasn't been the same since that point.
No, it hasn't. And listen, I am, you know, so many people meet me and reference that I've become defined by 7 seconds of words that came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Which I think if anybody took a look at themselves, to think that you are defined by about 20 words, your entire life. You know, I was 31 at the time, I'm 36 now, I'm defined by about 20 words, and that's what people think I am and who people think I am, and that's not right. You know, we've done so much good stuff, both, you know, at Redmen and before Redmen and stuff like that, that to think that people just think of me as some kid who fucking spouted off about Chelsea, and to think that people think that I'm a homophobe because of that.
Yeah.
It's madness. It's madness, and it's maddening, more importantly.
Right, yeah, fantastic. We'll put the link to that in the description, and we'll annotate to it at the end of the YouTube video as well. Other than that, you know, just check my Twitter or Chris's Twitter out if you want more links to that. But yeah, some of the more daft and irreverent stuff around that. But yeah, some really in-depth stuff as well. The feedback's been absolutely magnificent on it. So yeah, go over, watch it, like it, share it, subscribe. That would be great. Huddersfield.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Real town then, Ross Chanley. The end of this season is so close. Like, I keep looking at my calendar and being like, oh, wow, yeah. It's like, there's 3 games left to go in the league season. That's, you know, once this is out the way, it's tantalising. Obviously, we're recording this Tuesday afternoon, so obviously Man United City, we'll chat out a little bit about that. We can't go too heavy on any of this stuff for people who are listening after the fact, but I don't think that game for a start should have any impact on how Liverpool approach this. The simple fact of the matter is, regardless of whether City drop points or not, Liverpool need to continue to be relentless. They need to just go get Huddersfield, get them in a headlock, beat them into submission and walk away with 3 points.
Yeah, I think it's a case of just getting job done, isn't it? The way that Huddersfield have been playing, the way we've been playing, it should be no contest, but you can't let complacency creep in, even. But I think that comes back to that mentality.
It's not complacent with that sentence.
That is, yeah. About James Milner.
What happens, living proof.
You know, we developed a mentality of not being able to do that and just saying, you know, we've got a job to do. Everyone's got their own roles, and then like I've been in fear of that draw or you know losing to someone who's a potential banana. They don't want that to happen anymore. And over the past couple of weeks, it took the Chelsea game to go stop worrying. You know, these guys know what they're doing now, and whatever the plan is, they'll just do it and kill it. And I think you know being at home is a massive advantage. Being so close, I think that result will play into the hands of the fans because if, you know if City drop points or whatever. I think it's just going to be immense at Anfield, which will play into the Liverpool players eventually.
I think, I mean, on paper, Tom, this is our easiest game between now and the end of the season. I'm a little wary of Huddersfield, if I'm perfectly honest. I haven't seen them up close in the away game earlier on in the season. I know it was a bit of a makeshift Liverpool side, like, but they gave us a real game. Hopefully, look, they're all just done and dusted, and they're just, you know, feet up on the beach, you know, working out how they're going to earn enough money compared to this season when they're in the Championship next year. But again, the complacency thing. The good thing what we've got going for us this year, though, is that I don't fear Liverpool complacency anymore.
Not at home. Genuinely, there's no better place for football on earth right now than Anfield. Whenever Liverpool play there, it's a foregone conclusion. It was like 13-14 when it was you go and you'd know that you scored on more than three every single game, and it's like that at Anfield now. Every time I go, every time I watch this on the telly, whatever, I know for a fact the players are going to put out performance and the fans are going to put out performance. And it's, what game was it where we stepped it up on a 3 o'clock kickoff, and it was a brilliant Bournemouth and everyone just came up, rose up and went, right, this is what it's got to be, this is the level it's got to be now every single game, and it's going to be that again because we know how close we are. And you can't be complacent because, look, City could, we could feasibly end this season having won nothing and being so close. So it's Barcelona beat us and whatever, and City just win the remaining games and they finish the season like that. But that doesn't change the fact that how good the season's been. Yeah. That doesn't change the fact that we're still challenging for so much. And I think Klopp said it the other day, if you're only fighting to get the Holy Grail, then what's the point? You've got to do it because you're better than yourselves.
Yeah.
I think Anfield, regardless of what happens at the end of the season, is going to be just the same fortress, maybe even better next season because of this.
Yeah.
It's all a building process. That's what it's all been.
Yeah.
You can't be upset.
I was on the train back from the Southampton game, Ben, and I got chatting to a group of lads who were all Oxford United fans, and they were all on the way up to watch them play Walsall in like a League One relegation battle. And they were all just like, I mean, funny enough, they had a great knowledge of what was going on with Liverpool, which maybe tells you how you split your attentions a bit more. But, you know, I often think about fans of clubs outside of the big, you know, the big things, the big fights and what have you. And if it was all about the Holy Grail, as Jürgen kind of said, you know, saying, and how people sort of seem to dream that it is, no one would watch. No one would watch any other football clubs. You wouldn't go. You wouldn't play footy yourself. You wouldn't take a football to the park because what's the point?
Because you're never going to win the Champions League.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's like, just a waste of bloody time going to park with your friends, isn't it?
It's like I've been keeping up similar. I mean, because I'm from Wigan, and yesterday I've been following Wigan all season because yesterday they secured safety in the Championship for the first time. You know, they've been going up and down for the last few years, and it's like, it's all perspective. That for them is massive. That is the Holy Grail. To just to finish 18th in the Championship, is that what it is for that? Because if they'd gone down this season, they don't have the money, they'd have been in League One they wouldn't have come straight back up. Yeah. They'd have lost players. And for that, it's all about perspective of that's just where we are at the moment. But for the likes of, I mean, you know, Everton, it's, you know, the seventh at the moment is the Holy Grail because it's got a potential Europa League, and, you know, after an up and down season, that's where they want to be. It just depends on where you want to be for us right now. Where we are, the Holy Grail happens to be the Premier League, but that isn't the case for everybody else.
It's one of them, isn't it, Ross? Is that, you know, there's enough of a bank of evidence that this Liverpool side are not the Liverpool side of 2003, and they're not the Liverpool side of 2009, 2010 or 14, 15. The ones where we come really close and then we fall apart. It is entirely possible that could happen next season, because anything can happen when you're alive and there's things to be played for. But it's very, very unlikely. It's very unlikely that Liverpool will just absolutely fall off a cliff. So, you know, exactly what the lads are saying there. We need to get into our heads, and I think we are, that Liverpool are actually, this is now Liverpool's level.
Yeah.
You know, we are going to be one of the top two or three teams in the Premier League, at least for another couple of seasons, and hopefully beyond. And if we manage to secure a Premier League title in that, then we get on that society, that we get on that cycle of winning that I always talk about, and I mentioned earlier about how your older winners teach your younger winners, and your new players come in, and you develop a culture of winning.
we're kind of primed and ready for that, really.
It's the only thing that's keeping me going at the minute. Seriously, yeah. I'm just going... Well, yeah, because, you know, like you just said, we can finish on 96, 97 points and not win it. That's devastating. But, like you said, it's not a flash in the pan. It's not 13, 14, like we said before, the squad. You know, people are tied down to 4 or 5 year contracts. Like, you know, he's built something for a sustained period, not like, you know, if we don't win, we're going to sell all our players. That's not going to happen because you've got too many players that are of high quality, we said before.
This is not tying people down to a long-term contract when you're in a shit football club. You know what I mean? And it's not like trying to keep your marriage going by buying your wife a new car and hoping that'll mean they love you. You know what I mean? And make them be happier. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like that, which is what Liverpool were doing for years. It was like, listen, do us a favour and park all your life ambitions. Here's some more money. Look, Liverpool fans love you. Don't forget Liverpool fans love you.
It's the same with Suarez. Just give us one more season. There's no conversations being had about that. If we don't win anything this season, it's like...
Why we can laugh at things like the Mo Salah link to Real Madrid? Because you just know there's none of us are sat here like seriously worrying, well, if we don't win the league, then that's it. That's it.
Talking about this season and the end and stuff like that, there was a point in the season where I was done. I was genuinely done. It was stressful continuously, and I was the football on the pitch because I wanted us to win, and I just wanted to get to the end of the season, be done with it, and I'll know whether we've won it or not. Whereas right now, I would love a break from the constant stresses of watching Liverpool play and hoping that we win. But I don't want this to end because we're playing some of the best football ever. Yeah. And I can't be asked to transfer talk because the best thing about this team is we do the talking on the pitch. Yeah. I remember we'd be like, oh, we're going to sign this player because we need to do this and this. And it's like, well, it doesn't even matter who we get because Jürgen Klopp's going to get them on the pitch. I just can't see.
There's going to be inevitable for you either way with the summer, isn't it? Because I don't think whether we win the league or not that we're going to add too many. We're probably going to add one or two.
Yeah.
And the inevitable and Twitter fume of, well, why aren't we going out and overhauling everything? We don't need to anymore.
I always say, the analogy I always use when I talk about this season was like, I go to a gig and it's just, you're just uncomfortable and you don't enjoy being at that gig. And I just always used to wish. I remember seeing Oasis live at the City of Manchester years ago, and it was a brilliant gig. But by the time they came on, I was like, I could just do with this being over, but me having all the memories of having watched it. I just can't be asked to exist through it. I'm standing up. I'm uncomfortable. I need a piss every 5 minutes, and this is just shit. Whereas when you go to a festival, this is what I now, my mentality shift is now. This is not me like, oh God, I just want this all over. When you're at a festival and you can just let yourself go and be totally, you know, you just be in the moment of what, you don't have to worry about it because you know what? I'll just sleep. I'll just fall down at the end and I'll wake up tomorrow and it'll be fine and I'll go and do it all over again because this is great fun. This is what I'm here for. I'm here for the music. I'm here for the laughs. I'm here for the experience of it all. And that's what I feel like with Liverpool at the moment. My mentality, I don't know, I've said it for a few weeks, it changed about 3 weeks ago, I think it was before the Spurs game. And now, I'm not stressed anymore. Other people have the ability to stress me out a little bit, like, you know, because it's hard being around other people who aren't quite like that, because it does make you have to kind of put your foot down a little bit more to kind of ramp yourself up a bit over the hump of it, like, but... I'm enjoying the whole experience. It's weird.
I've turned into that cliche that football's always going to take it one game at a time. Whereas before, I could look at a whole month, go, oh yeah, I've got that game. It's like, no, stop. Huddersfield next. Don't look past that. And you know, you're looking out for other games you probably shouldn't do as a fan.
Yeah.
But like, I've not stopped thinking about that Manchester derby. I'm toying in my head of going, well, they've been really shit, but they might do all right. You know, they need to pull the finger out. Yeah. But and it's going, but they are shit.
I'm sure I've had enough though of people tweeting. Can't see City dropping points between now and the end of the season. Can't see where they drop points. Stop looking at it. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
It'll happen or it won't. I think that's where it's come from for me, Ben, anyway, is that you've got to be laissez-faire about football because there's nothing you can do about it. We are subjecting ourselves to football. That's all that we're doing, really. If you can get yourself in the ground and you can have a bit of a sing-song and you can stay till the 96th minute and watch goalkeepers throw one in the cop end, great. Mm. You know what I mean? That's the most you can ever hope to do, really. But other than that, it's not. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen, yeah. Look, I mean, I'm really nervous about the derby on Wednesday as well, but... Either way, it's you can't control. Don't worry about the things you can't control. It's that, you know, you can't. We can sit here and talk until the sun sets this evening. We cannot control what Liverpool do against Huddersfield on Friday. We cannot control the result on Wednesday night. It is one of that, but then that's the case. Yeah, it is, because you want to be able to. The closest you can get is, like you say, getting in the ground and, you know, as you say, you end up sucking a few goals into the cop end. And you end up having those memories of doing that. But at the end of the day, you definitely can't affect which goals get sucked into the Stretford end on Wednesday night. You know what I mean?
To be honest, regardless of all that, Messi's playing at Anfield soon. Lionel Messi is playing at Anfield.
I'm not even nervous about that. No. I'm just excited.
The Champions League a free hit, though, isn't it? It's a bit more like... Yeah. It's a break, because when we played Bayern in February, I wasn't nervous for those games. I was like, well, I can watch these games. If we go out, then that's not the main priority. That is the event with Barcelona. It's like, when Lionel Messi's coming to Anfield, if we go out, then it's a test.
It doesn't mean that I'm wrong about Liverpool being boss, because we've already proven we're amazing. Yeah. You know, we got to the final last season, and that wasn't like, a flash in the pan. You know, we've come back again even better this year. If Liverpool lose to Barcelona, it's because you've come up against a really good team. I mean, unless they absolutely wipe the floor with us, and in which case, I'd still probably look at it and go, okay, what are all the lessons that Liverpool will learn with that? Once I've calmed down, you know, because I'll be upset if I have to watch that, of course. But I don't think that'll happen. I just think that, and it's going to be so... We've missed this. This is what we've missed. Yeah. We haven't watched... The last time we saw Messi, he was a child just making his way into the senior team, and Alvaro Arbeloa absolutely pocketed him in the new camp, and it was glorious. And that was like 12 years ago? Yeah. 12 years ago. Yeah. You know, we've missed Messi. We've missed him being able to test ourselves, rightfully test ourselves against the best teams in world football. We haven't been able to experience that. We have watched some of the worst football in the continent of Europe has had to offer, both being produced by ourselves and other by travelling to the furthest reaches of the arse end of nowhere to watch football clubs. I just don't care about, as snobby and as elitist as that sounds, I don't care about FK Rabbit Nicky. I don't. I'm dead sorry. Whatever.
Think of who we've got to see this season. I got to see Neymar in the flesh. There was Ronaldo last season. There was Mbappe. There's all these players that at some point in your life you want to be able to say, I watched them play in the flesh. And you're right, it's been so long, we've missed the progression of these fantastic players. And now there's fans of Barcelona who are going to go, we got to see Mohamed Salah there. We got to see Virgil van Dijk play. Yeah. That's the level we're at. Yeah. And this is
Jordan Henderson. James Milner.
Exactly. Joe Matip.
Yeah. It is fantastic. And again, you're singing the praise of these players, and I'm going to be gutted when the season finishes, when we've won the Premier League and the Champions League, because I'm not going to get to see them for the whole, like, 4 months,
but
3 months.
Before the Bayern Munich draw, there was a thing doing the rounds of being sports, and you're outside the Nou Camp, and I put it back out the other day, and he said all the Barcelona fans don't want Liverpool in the Champions League, because that's a team that they fear. That's how far Liverpool have come in a short space of time.
Absolutely right. Brilliant. Yeah, so yeah, keep smiling, everyone. It's just, this is what it is. You know, this is what we've been gagging for, what we've been aching for all these years. And it's not just, you know, since we last won a trophy. This is like a culmination. Even when we won the European Cup in 2005, we weren't this good. No. We were nowhere near this good. That's why we laugh our tits off the fact that Jimmy Torres got a Champions League winners medal, and Vladi Schmeisser and Milan Baros and Djibril Cisse. These lads have become legends, and they're not even fit to lace the boots of the legends that went before them. No. And yet, you know, now, you know, we've got an option. We've got a chance to make some of these lads live forever, and they will fully deserve it as well. And if they don't do it this season, then they'll do it next. Right, a couple of questions before we wrap up. Sam Harrison, who is one of our subscribers to the RedmenTV.com. Who is the most famous person that you know of that has a RedmenTV account? Do any players, ex-players have one? And weirdest interaction with a subscriber? Now, the most famous, I couldn't think of any, because there's plenty of like ex-Liverpool players who follow the Twitter account. I've no idea if anyone subscribes to the channel, to the website. I don't know that. But I don't know why it occurred to me. In fact, I know why it occurred to me. I got on this day on Facebook that the lead singer from Creed started following us on Twitter about 4 or 5 years ago or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, the lead singer from Creed follows us. How fucking random is that? Christian Rock, get in. The best of the best.
Iconic
Christian
voice,
Rock.
Yeah,
absolutely. Have you seen any weird ones?
Well, subscribes to the website. I know one with Lucas.
Does he actually?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm happy with that.
Yes, I think that's good because we obviously interviewed him last.
And he wants to check we've not made a prick of him. Yeah.
Yeah,
what's the video?
But there's literally loads on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Lucas watches the Man of the Match podcast and comes out every single game. We say,
he always, always comments.
Does he say all the best people does he comment that the beans on toast?
Yeah. Well, if you're wondering what that is, you've got to watch it. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? You're missing out on quality. Quality content.
Okay, Dan Owen, what's your favourite guilty pleasure film? Is it one that maybe the kids put on that you end up more interested than them? I'm sure Ross can relate to that more than these two. But yeah, go on, Tom. What's your guilty pleasure film?
Hercules. That is one of the best films.
You said that so definitively, and it just wasn't the word that I was expecting you to say at all.
It's genuinely fantastic. I watched that any day of the week. Me and Si went round to my mate's house, and we put it on the telly, and Si had never seen it, and by the end of it, he was like, yeah, it's not a bad film. And Si doesn't like my film recommendations. Hercules, the animation version, is one of the top films ever made.
The game's brilliant as well.
Is it good?
Yeah. PS1.
Yeah.
There's a clutch of Disney films where I was obviously in that crossover age where I was too old, so I was probably like university age around the time that they came out, all around GCSEs or whatever. And they're really good. Hercules and The Emperor's New Groove are both really, really good, but they never thought of as being the classics because it was like you had that renaissance of Aladdin and then Beauty and the Beast and Lion King, and then they were the ones that followed. Mulan's one of them as well, I think. And then you come on to the more modern ones. But go on, Ben,
I just like a good... I don't mind a good rom-com. I was saying to Ross in the office before, so like...
I can imagine you like
so,
a rom-com.
So we went out last week and I met you at Motel Bar and you were like, what have you been doing tonight? And I was just, well, there was a rom-com on ITV2 and I just...
What was the rom-com?
It was What Happens in Vegas with Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher. It's one of them where it's one of them where you're not looking for these films. They're just on the telly on ITV2 at 9 o'clock on a Saturday and you just go, oh, I've got a tub of ice cream here.
I've got my slippers on.
Put my feet up, and they're just easy to watch. And, and there's
reposition about, all the cushions on the sofa.
There's about you're 5 funny lines in the entire hour and a half, but it's fine. What?
Yeah. Are you 5 seconds away from saying Bridget Jones?
I've never seen Bridget Jones. I've never seen the classic rom-com. I just find rubbish ones that are on the telly.
I'm partial to a rom-com every now and then. I have done that.
Jennifer Aniston's got an absolute castle.
The rom-com thing is that I am made up that superhero films have flourished because ultimately since I've had kids you've got to pick your cinema trips, and I am vehement at the certain films that I have to watch on the pictures, which means that me and Mrs. don't get to watch rom-coms on the pictures anymore, and I have seen some fucking horrendous films, largely ones with where the two protagonists like are leaning back to back on the poster. And maybe she's like quite smart and fit and he just looks a little bit rough or ragged or whatever. Jared Butler's normally in them. Fuck that. Ross, what's your guilty pleasure film?
You named half of them there. It's any Disney princess film, just because like I have to watch them.
Yeah.
And it's like they're actually quite good.
Frozen.
Frozen. I put Moana on there. It's not even a guilty pleasure. I like it.
I don't feel guilty about it in any way, shape, or form.
I'll watch it without my daughter there.
Tangled's better than Frozen, by the way, if anyone
is
watching.
Is that the Scottish one?
No, that's Brave.
Yeah. That's a good film.
Brave's a good film.
Yeah. They're all good films. They're all just genuinely
there you go.
Kids films, like Shrek. I watch Shrek all the time. Yeah. Kids films, but I'll just watch
18 years old.
My guilty pleasure film, and it's, I guess it's not really, I don't know if it's classed as a guilty pleasure, it's a film called The League of Their Own, and it's a Tom Hanks film about women's baseball, and so all the men go off to war, and the women's baseball league gets set up in its stead, and it's got Gina Davis and Lottie Petty as the main character. It's got Madonna's in it and all kinds, and it's brilliant. It's one of those films where it's like a comfort film. I can watch it at any time. You can throw it on and just get lost in it. It's brilliantly produced. It's a proper forgotten gem, but yeah, that's probably up there. The only other one is Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I can't watch it anymore because I loved it so much as a kid that I'm scared that if I watch it now, I will realise that it's terrible. And I'll ruin a priceless part of my childhood for doing it.
It's a classic, though, to be fair.
It is a classic. Yeah. It's not. It's like one of... It's that clutch of terrible Arnie action films after Terminator 2.
It's a classic Christmas film, though, isn't it?
That's...
Die Hard.
No?
No, that's... oh, shit, no. Jingle All The Way, you're thinking of?
We guys get the Last Christmas toy out of the thing. That's Last Action Hero, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
I mean, mean, he literally buys the last action figure.
Yeah, but he's not Jingle,
it's
not a Christmas
thing. In Jingle All the Way.
Ah, okay, that's where I'm confused.
But no, it's where there's a kid and he gets a magic movie ticket and he goes into the movie screen and becomes in the action film where Arnold Schwarzenegger is this guy terrible, called Jack Slater.
This sounds an action awful. It sounds
terribly amazing.
Amazing.
Like, yeah. It's got the guy who's the dad of the Lannisters from Game of Thrones. It's like the baddie. Charles Dance, that's it. Brilliant, thanks. So. Is the baddie in it, and it's class and terrible. He uses the expression because it plays up on Arnie being Arnie, where he blows up an ice cream van and an ice cream cone basically kills a guy by stabbing him through the back of the head, and he says, "Iced him." It's a cone of phrase.
Yeah. All of them bad films. So like, even like Piranha 3D, there's Sharknado. I love all them.
I think James Cameron directed Piranha 2.
Really? Yeah. Well, there's Piranha 3 Double D, which is, don't watch
quite
it.
Something.
It's terrible. It's quite They're something. All anything where you watch them and you're just like, that acting is some of the worst acting ever, and you can sit there, have a bevy or whatever, and just sit there and laugh at how much these taking it serious. It's great.
Oh, what's the Deep Blue Sea?
Oh, yes, what a film!
Yeah, absolutely,
Lake Placid.
Songs that have got like. Where the mate actors in them make songs for the soundtrack in them, like Men in Black.
Yes.
I think we miss that culturally. Where is that? Where has that gone? Like, I mean, I suppose we're going to get it back with the new Aladdin live action, but nevertheless.
I think it's just Will Smith.
Yeah, that's it. We need classic Will Smith. I'm trying to be a proper actor, Will Smith. Right, we're going to be doing the bonus Q&A straight after this one with more of your questions and more of this kind of random biff. But yeah, we've got, would you rather have hands for feet or feet for hands? What do we think of the club selling standard and elite shirts? Who would be the perfect current Liverpool players to replace me and Chris on Redmen? Other sports that we follow? If we could kick one current and one ex-footballer square in the nuts, who would it be? And a whole lot more. So if you want more from this, go over to theredmentv.com and sign up. As mentioned, if you want to watch me and Chris's first podcast, the Machin Page podcast, we'll annotate at the end of the YouTube video as well, so click through and watch that. Other than that, guys, thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching and for listening. Walk on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.